from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On the show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. And coming up on today's show, man, we have some extremely, extremely disappointing, heartbreaking, ugly, gut-wrenching baseball games to talk about. Probably the worst bullpen collapses I've ever seen, and we're going to get into the historic nature of these collapses. If you somehow miss these games, you should be considering yourself so lucky for not having to endure the pain and suffering that the games specifically on Friday and Saturday brought, and then Sunday, just an absolute laugher by the A's winning in a blowout. So the Giants get swept in this series, really should have won 2 out of 3 at least, but end up with nothing. A little bit about me. I've been a contributor for Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I started a podcast about the Giants called Covecast in 2015, and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. I'm also a lifelong diehard Giants fan. So these were some of the worst losses I've ever seen. As I said, the Giants on Friday night were on their way cruising to a nice, easy victory. They had a 7-2 lead in the top of the ninth inning, believe it or not, and they lost the game. Trevor Gott comes in, non-save situation. Some people make a big deal out of that. I will not. Trevor Gott comes in, non-save situation, gets one out, allows 5 runs. Game is tied when he leaves the game. He allows a game-tying grand slam to Steven Piscotty. And then the Giant Tyler Rogers comes in, holds it down, gets out of a dicey situation, and the game goes to extra innings. But by that point, I mean, the Giants were just reeling, and the A's end up winning in extra innings. Liam Hendricks, their closer, just comes in and shuts them down in the ninth after, or in the 10th after the A's, you know, just get 3 outs in the top of the 10th, but it scores that automatic runner on second base, advanced him to third, and then scored him on a sac fly, and then a ground out or whatever, ended the inning. And the Giants just struck out 3 times against the closer in the bottom of the 10th. So, unbelievably shocking and heartbreaking loss. And you're thinking, oh my God, I may never see anything like this again in my lifetime. It was the first time the Giants had blown a 5 or more run lead in the ninth inning since like 1928. Okay, so it's like a 100-year event for this team to blow a 5-run ninth inning lead. But so you're leaving that game thinking, all right, well, this is never going to happen again. It's just unbelievably disappointing. But ultimately, you turn the page and you hope to move on in the next game. And it was looking like another nice, easy Giants win here. They had a 6-3 lead going into the ninth inning against the A's again. And here comes Trevor Gott again. And I can totally understand some people questioning, why are you going to this guy again after what he did the previous night? So we'll talk all about that, but I just want to first say the A's come around and score 4 in the top of the ninth, including a 2-out, 2-strike, 3-run homer by Mark Canna that gave the A's the lead. So shocking. And then Liam Hendricks comes in and shuts the door again in the bottom of the ninth. So we'll get into the carnage. We'll talk a little bit, I guess, about Sunday's 15-3 A's win. But I guess the place I want to start is that, number one, the Giants should have won this series, okay? So it's easy. Baseball is interesting to me in that when a team is losing, the focus is always on the negative. And when a team wins, you get to focus on the positive and ignore the negative. That's kind of what I mean, is that there's always positives and negatives happening with a team, but the losses make us focus on the negative and ignore the positive, and the wins make us focus on the positive and ignore the negative. And so these losses on Friday and Saturday, the focus was understandably on the negative, which was these crushing late comebacks by the A's. But let's not forget the Giants had a 7-2 lead in the ninth inning against the A's on Friday and a 6-3 lead on Saturday. Those are games they're going to win 99% of the time, and I mean that literally. So forgotten in all this is that on Friday, Johnny Cueto pitched beautifully. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, no homers, 5 strikeouts, 2 walks, 3 hits. Just pitched great. Tony Watson came in the 8th and had a clean inning. So the Giants were looking good. I mean, it was just one of those games that you just thought was over. Like I said, hasn't happened unless you were born in 1928 or earlier. I'm pretty sure 100% of people listening to this show right now, this has never happened in your lifetime. And no disrespect if anyone is listening and you're in your 90s. But even you don't remember it when it happened if you were alive in 1928. So we've just never seen this before. And it was, you know, such a gut punch. But before, again, not to focus on the negative yet, I want to say that Longoria hit a home run. Jesus Luzardo was the starting pitcher for the A's. He's a really, really good prospect, and he's just kind of now, he debuted last year and pitched out of the bullpen, and now he's in the starting rotation for them. And the Giants got to him in a big way. Longoria homered off of him. Pence hit a 3-run homer off of him. Yastrzemski hit a home run in the 8th inning off a lefty to the opposite field. So it was looking like the offense, again, was just stepping up and having a huge night. Wilmer Flores had 4 hits. Donovan Solano had a hit and a walk. Mauricio Dubon had 2 hits. So we will talk about what went wrong in that ninth inning, but I do just want to continue that point, which was that we don't get to focus on the positive, and there were positives. So on Saturday, the A's started Sean Manaea, and the Giants started Kevin Gausman, who went 5 2/3 and had 11 strikeouts. So Gausman just continuing to show that dominant stuff and continuing to look like a great pickup by the Giants and someone who's either going to be traded for, you know, Farhan Zaidi has a good track record of getting good returns in trade. So we'll either see a trade that is very intriguing here in the next couple weeks because the trade deadline is coming up, or he's potentially a guy you might want to keep around a little bit. So I've heard people talk about extending Kevin Gausman, and I actually don't disagree with that. The Giants clearly need pitching, and he's a guy who you feel good about when he's on the mound. And he showed it on Saturday. He did allow 2 home runs, but just 3 runs in 5 2/3 with the 11 strikeouts. Wandy Peralta, Tyler Rogers, and Tony Watson pitched nice, clean, easy innings. So that's what helped the Giants have their 6-3 lead in the ninth. Yastrzemski hit a big triple that ended up scoring on an error. And Darren Ruff hit a huge 3-run homer off of Birch Smith in the bottom of the 7th. So it should have been another easy Giants win, but Trevor Gott gives up 4 earned runs in the top of the 9th. All right, so coming up, I guess, in the second half of the show, we'll talk about what went wrong. We're going to dissect these scenarios and how it may have been preventable. We're going to talk about the decisions Gabe Kapler made. We're going to talk about a huge, huge mental mistake by Wilmer Flores, a huge physical mistake by Hunter Pence. The decisions by Kapler will be scrutinized in both games. So that's all coming up next. But first, I want to talk about rockauto.com. One reason that we repair and maintain our cars is to save money that we can then use for more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, which is a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Whether it's for your classic car or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to break down what specifically went wrong in these ninth innings for the Giants. So it's hard to say, it's hard to blame anybody because these events are so rare. You cannot just say that it was like predetermined that, oh, Gabe Kapler chose to use Trevor Gott in a non-save situation and that caused them to lose the game. I mean, they could have put out a position player and the A's are likely to not score five runs in the inning. Tyler Heineman threw a clean scoreless inning on Sunday. Okay, so it's never like predictable that the A's are going to score five runs in an inning against a reliever. Let's keep in mind that the worst relievers in the world, someone who's got a 6 ERA, is only allowing 0.67 runs per inning. And the best relievers, someone with a 3 ERA, is allowing 0.33 runs per inning. So it's not that big of a difference. Both are fractions of a run per inning. So it's not, you can't say it was because they went to Trevor Gott. But that decision is something that has been questioned. Part of the argument is that Trevor Gott, the pressure was too low and he thrives on adrenaline. And so the fact that it was a non-save situation, he was not feeling enough adrenaline and that's why he struggled. Malarkey. Unless you can prove to me that that happens, then I don't believe it. And number two, was it not stressful when the tying run came up to the plate in that inning with only one out? Because if we're talking about adrenaline and he only thrives on adrenaline, how about that situation? Bases loaded, tying run at the plate, one out, ninth inning. That's about as stressful and high adrenaline as it gets. And he gave up a grand slam. So I don't know. If you're telling me he only thrives on adrenaline, then what happened there? But the huge play in this inning belonged to Wilmer Flores. So in the ninth, Matt Chapman made an out to start the inning, believe it or not. First batter got out. At this point, Fangraphs had the Giants' win odds at 99.8%. Next batter, Matt Olson, home run on the first pitch. So then Trevor Gott walks Mark Canha, which you just can't do. He threw him a strike on the first pitch and then four straight balls. So then this was the huge play in the inning to me. I mean, obviously the grand slam mattered also. But on the next pitch after the walk, Robbie Grossman hits a ground ball to Wilmer Flores, who's playing first base. Flores, the ground ball takes his momentum towards the first base bag. He's like running towards first base, fields the ground ball, takes a couple steps towards first base. Inexplicably, as he's about to reach the base, he decides, no, I need to throw the ball to second base and try to get the force out there. By that point, I don't think there's any chance at a double play. Maybe he thought there was, because that's possibly the only explanation I can give as to why he decided to do that. But let's keep in mind what the situation was. Runner on first, 7-3 Giants lead with one out. So if he just steps on the base, it's two outs, 7-3, and Chris Davis coming up, and Chris Davis has really struggled this year and last year. They're going to need two more guys to get on before they can even bring the tying run to the plate. But instead, because the Giants do not get an out on this play, because Flores throws to second base, and Crawford comes off the base to try to tag the runner. He could have held his foot on second base, and they would have got the force out there. But Crawford like came off the base and tried to tag the runner, I guess thinking maybe Flores stepped on the base, or he was just a little confused as to what was going on, or he thought he could get the tag down. The throw kind of took him off the base, but he easily could have stayed on it. So anyway, they don't get an out. Suddenly, the A's only need one more runner to bring up the tying run, and there's only one out. So just a huge, huge difference between two outs. They need two runners, more runners to bring up the tying run, and one out, and they only need one more runner to bring up the tying run. So psychologically, there's something to that. And so there's a lot of pressure now. This is where Gott should be feeling the adrenaline. And in a 3-2 count, he hits Chris Davis with a pitch. You have to just throw that ball right down the middle of the plate because Davis is not the tying run there. So he hits Chris Davis, which brings up the tying run. And first pitch strike on a curveball, second pitch curveball, like same spot, hanging curveball kind of over the middle of the plate. And Piscotty hits a grand slam. So just unbelievable, but it almost felt like it was going to happen as soon as Flores did not get that out. So just to answer the question, why was Brandon Belt not put in for defense? Brandon Belt came to Kapler before the game and said he felt, you know, lower body, whatever, pain, heaviness, tightness, and Kapler was not going to go to Belt unless he absolutely had to. This was a 5-run ninth inning lead. You're not going to go to a guy who says he's injured, basically, to bring him in for defense with a 5-run lead. Like I said, even Tyler Heineman is not likely to blow this game. Do I think they necessarily should have gone to Trevor Gott in the ninth? No. But I'm not going to say that, you know, it was clear that bringing in Gott was going to make them blow a 5-run ninth inning lead. So moving on to the next game, it's 6-3 in the ninth. Giants have used Tyler Rogers and Tony Watson to get to the ninth. So they don't have those two guys. Who else do the Giants have that they can rely on? Harleen Garcia, maybe. Are you really going to bring in a lefty with a bunch of righties in this A's lineup, their best players being right-handed, except Matt Olson? So it's a 3-run lead. Gott had, you know, obviously struggled in the ninth inning the night before, and they go to Trevor Gott again. I understand it only because they don't have a lot of better options, and they had already used Rogers and Watson, which you can't just say they shouldn't have done that, because those innings mattered just as much as the ninth. So they do go to Gott. I wasn't thrilled to see him out there, but again, who else were they going to go to? First batter, right-handed batter, Sean Murphy, hits a home run on the first pitch. He then gets Marcus Semien to pop out. So we're talking one out, 6-4 Giants. So then the next batter, Tony Kemp, hits a ball that should have been caught. Hunter Pence in right field takes like two steps in on the ball, and then he has to make a right turn and run back, and the ball carries over his head and just drops in out of his reach. So that is definitely a ball that should have been caught, should have been the second out of the inning. Next batter lines out to Pence, and that should have been the third out. But instead, it's only the second out. So this is when Matt Olson comes up. And by this point, it's just, to me, I felt like with Matt Olson representing the tying run, I did feel like it was time to go to Sam Selman, who was loose in the bullpen. And I understand if Selman comes in and doesn't get out Olson, then he has to face Mark Canna up next, who's right-handed. But at the same time, I just thought Selman was likely to get out Olson. Olson is much worse against lefties than he is against righties. And Olson, you know, he's a huge power threat, and Gott has given up at that point 3 home runs in his last, like, inning of work. So I didn't feel great about that matchup, and Gott was kind of careful with him. He threw ball, ball, strike, ball, ball. So Olson walks. It brings up the go-ahead run with two outs, and it's Mark Canna. And that's the other thing. If Gott doesn't get out Olson, then you've got to leave him in for another batter. And at that point, if he hasn't gotten out Olson, he's thrown a lot of pitches the last two nights combined, and he's put himself in another dicey situation. He's given up a home run in the inning. So that's why I would have liked to see Selman for Olson. I don't think Gott has earned this role whatsoever. So instead, he's now walked Olson, and it's a, talk about adrenaline, right? The go-ahead run comes up in Mark Canna, and again, he gets to a 2-strike count. It's ball 1, strike 1, strike 2. And then ball, ball. So he's just put himself in another, like, get-it-in type situation, throws a fastball right over the middle of the plate, and Mark Canna hits a run homer. Unbelievable. The A's take the lead. Just magical stuff for the Oakland A's. It's like, even if you throw a ball down the middle to a guy, they're going to get themselves out a lot. But the A's, give them credit. I mean, they hit the big home run and the big hit when it mattered most. So that's kind of the one real thing I disagree with. Leaving in got as long as he was left in. I would have taken him out for Olsen. I mean, why did they have Sam Selman getting loose if they weren't going to use him for Olsen? I thought that was the spot. And Kapler decided he was going to give Gott that extra hitter and try to help him. You know, if he gets him out, then it is a tremendous boost to his confidence there, and the manager shows faith in him. And I also want to point out, Bochy did stuff like this all the time. He stuck with Santiago Casilla for an entire season despite his continued struggles. And so to say, why is Kapler putting him right back out there? That's something that Bochy did all the time. He would immediately put a guy back out there who had struggled the night before. And, you know, Kruk and Kipe would talk about how it was a great show of confidence and the pitchers really appreciated that. And I'm sure Gott appreciated it, but he just blew it again. So now they're going to have to lay off him. If they go to Gott in a close ninth inning game again right now, I'm going to question that a little more seriously. Is he this bad? No, I don't think so. But I think it's time to try something else and give Gott a little bit of a breather, give him a low leverage situation. If you take those two games away, which they absolutely should have won, they could be 10-13, which is a respectable record given the teams they've had to play. It's just been relentless good teams all season. But instead, they're 8-15, and they may very well be buried and done here. They're going to have to play great baseball ahead of the deadline to have any kind of chance at not just trying to sell off pieces at the deadline. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thankfully, these games keep coming, so there's always a chance for redemption the next game. Giants are in Anaheim for two games against the Angels, then they come back to play two more against the Angels, and then a series against the Diamondbacks and Dodgers at home. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. It'll be Tyler Anderson on the mound for the Giants, Griffin Canning on the mound, right-handed pitcher for the Angels. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider leaving it a review, rating it, giving it 5 stars. It is always much appreciated. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.